Well, good morning to you guys. Man, thank you for checking out this podcast. We got another interview coming to you. So I'm excited for this one as well. The last episode was an encouraging interview with some adults, but this one, I have two students with me. So these are I'm going to let them introduce themselves in a second, but these are two of my students, and I have probably, I'm going to brag on all of our students, I have probably the best student group in the world. Just have the coolest and the sweetest and a lot of the really most. Is that like grammar? No. I have probably some of the most mature students. And these are just two of them. Like, this is not just the only two. These are two of them, though. So I'm just excited for this. With no further ado, why don't y'all introduce yourselves? I don't care who goes first.
Jenna wanted me to go first. All right. Yeah. I'm William Bates. I'm a senior in high school right now.
Where do you go to school, Will?
I go to Ware County
High
School.
Can I call you Will, or do you want me to call you William?
William.
Please. Is your name William?
It's William.
Okay.
No Will.
So nobody calls you Will?
I don't like Will.
Okay. So you're a senior? Okay.
I'm a senior. I go to Ware County. Go Gators.
Do we like that, Jenna?
No.
Do you play any sports or anything?
I do play some sports. I play football and tennis.
Wow. Look at that.
Two great sports.
I've never played tennis. Actually, I did play tennis once with my mom.
It's pretty
fun. In like seventh grade.
It's pretty fun. I can teach you.
Okay, sweet.
Let's go.
And then what about you over there, Missy?
Okay. My name's Jenna Heron, and I'm a senior in high school, too, but I go to Pierce County High School.
Go Bears.
Ooh.
Yep.
Can y'all, this is going to put you on the spot and be really awkward. Can you make like a gator sound, and then can you make like a bear sound?
Absolutely
what's
not.
What's the gator make?
Like what, yeah, that's, can you?
I have no clue.
Just try. Just.
I think gators make like a,
but just
like a chirping sound. I could be wrong.
Yeah, they do, but like make a, like just a funny one that you would think.
Rawr.
Rawr.
That's
okay,
like
wow.
A bear.
Boo. Yeah, okay, what does a bear sound like?
That was a bear.
Rawr. Anyway, Jenna, where are you? So, do you play any sports?
Yeah, I play soccer.
Play soccer? You're not, are you going to college for soccer?
Nope.
No. You excited to be a normal student in college?
Mm-hmm.
Do you plan to go to college?
Yeah.
Where do you want to go?
UGA.
Man, I cannot support that decision.
Go Dogs.
Although, guys, look at the shirt I'm wearing. Can't tell anybody about this.
Who gave you that?
Where'd you get that from?
I don't really know, to be honest. It's a Georgia shirt.
Nice.
For all my loyal Tennessee fans out there, I'm sorry. I've caved to the culture. And you like Georgia as well, right?
I do.
Where do you want to go to school?
Either UGA or I'm thinking about Mercer as well.
That'd be cool.
But we'll see.
That would be cool. I know this is, we did this in the last interview, and I want to do this too. Give me one random fun fact.
Jenny, you got this first.
I'm a twin.
You're a what?
A twin.
You're a twin. Okay, that's cool. Who's your twin?
Jones.
Jones. Jonesy. And then William, you know, give me a random fun fact about you.
I can't swim.
You can't swim. Wow.
No, I'm just kidding. I can, but like, I'm just not the best at
you
it.
You just choose not to swim.
You put me in the shallow end, I can do pretty good.
I would hope. I would hope you're like 6 foot. I hope you would do good in the shallow end. That's funny. Yeah. So, hey, what, and then I'm putting you on the spot again with this one. What are we talking about today? What are some of the thoughts that we want to kind of talk about and uncover for the peeps?
I believe we'll be talking about discipleship, the
yeah.
importance of it.
Yeah.
You know, what that looks like in our lives and
yeah,
why it's important.
Yeah. So discipleship, that's a pretty good. We want to encourage you, if you're listening, I guess with the importance of discipleship. For a long time, what we have done is spoken the words, we make disciples or we do discipleship. And oftentimes we don't really put, I guess, we don't put a skin on what we're doing. Like, we don't actually sometimes do that. And so I just kind of want to hear from y'all, I guess, y'all's thoughts on that today. But diving in, I guess my first question for y'all, what is your history with following Christ? Like, when did you start following him? When did you accept Jesus? When did you begin walking with him? What did that look like?
You want to go with me?
Yeah, I'll go. I accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was 8 years old, and I've been walking with Him ever since then, but I feel like there was kind of a moment where I reached, like, a different understanding and more of, like, a maturity in, like, what it actually means to follow Christ, not from a kid's perspective, but from, like, this has got to be a lifestyle, and that was probably between middle and high school for me, and it was just, like, kind of a new understanding. Like, I no longer was just, like, I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to do all this, but I'm going to follow Christ, and I'm going to have a daily walk with Him every single day. So,
and that's interesting that you say that. So, it's not necessarily that your previous understanding of how to follow Christ was wrong.
Yeah.
It was just your view of following Christ and taking that relationship to the next level almost, like, deepened. Is that mm-hmm. what you would say?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's a real, honestly, I think that's really mature. That's a really mature and a good way to put it. What about you, William?
I'd say I'm kind of similar. I was, I actually was baptized twice when I was younger, which is
that's kind cool. of odd.
But the first time,
double the,
yeah, the first time it was like, I could be wrong when I say this, but I've always said that, like, I just wanted to go in the water.
Yeah.
And so I got baptized, and then, I mean, I guess nothing really happened. And then I remember one time at church, we were doing communion or something, and the pastor, like, was like, if you aren't truly a believer or something, like, he was kind of like, I guess, warning, I guess, from, like, yeah. doing communion. And so I was like, dang, because I didn't really know if I truly believed, and so I didn't do it. And so then that just kind of sparked a period of time when it was like, I don't know, I was just trying to, like, because I wasn't easy to just, say I believed, you know, like,
yeah.
I wasn't going to just, like, say I believe because everyone else did.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to truly, like, you know, truly think that I believe.
Like, figure this out, and, yeah.
And so, on the way home from church one time, I was with my dad, and we were just talking about, like, the trees and stuff, I remember.
That's cool.
We were like, I mean, he was just like, I mean, where do you think these trees came from? You think it just popped up, really?
Yeah.
And I was like, dang, I guess you're right. And, so I began to believe, believe in God, believe in Jesus. I don't remember when that was, probably about third or fourth grade.
Yeah.
But then after that, it was kind of just the same old, you know, like, nothing really changed much.
Change,
like, I believed and I knew that, like, you know, I knew God was real, nothing really changed.
Yeah.
And it was about beginning of high school. It was about the end of 10th grade, actually. Like, for years, I had just been wrestling with the thought, like, man, like, I don't know if I'm in the right place. Like, I know I need something deeper. I just didn't really know, like, what that meant.
Yeah.
And it was about the end of 10th grade. I had a friend who just began to encourage me to just read my Bible.
That's cool.
And that's kind of where it started. I just began to actually just open up the Word.
Wow. Yeah.
And from there, that's just kind of where it began.
That's cool. So, do y'all, I guess, both of you, do you remember when you first came to Christ, do you remember somebody coming alongside of you? And, like, immediately, right? Like, you get dipped in the water, and then you come out. Do you remember somebody coming alongside of you and immediately beginning to walk beside you, you know, teaching you the Bible, encouraging you to read, you know, showing, modeling for you what it looks like to follow Christ? Do you remember that?
I would say my parents were the biggest people, and, like, my older sisters.
That's
they
awesome.
Were very encouraging to me. But, I mean, the church was very, like, encouraging, but it wasn't like I couldn't have somebody from the church with me all the time,
yeah.
like to walk with me. So it was really my parents and my older sisters.
That's really cool. I like that.
I guess I would say no. I was provided with, like, plenty of, like, opportunities and resources, but I guess I wasn't. I would say no, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, no one really came beside me, and really showed me, I guess, what it means, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely get that. I mean, it's kind of the same with me. I remember I had a youth pastor that came alongside of me and wanted to read the Bible with me very loosely. And now that was definitely encouraging to me, but it wasn't as much of like, hey, I'm going to come alongside of you and disciple you and pour everything mm-hmm. I have into you. Maybe it was. Maybe I was just a knothead at
yeah.
the time. But yeah, no, that's interesting that it's a little bit of a different story for both of you. You know, you did, and Jenna, for you, like, was that a really big encouragement to you? Because not only having people at the church pour into you, but also having parents and siblings really pour into you. Was that a big encouragement?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. And then William, kind of a little bit of a different story. It's not that people weren't pouring into you, because I'm sure, you know, I know your parents, I love your parents. I bet they were. But it was more or less of a, man, somebody is really coming alongside of you and really pouring everything they have into you as you're growing in Christ. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah, that's funny. So anyway, I guess I want to transition kind of into the, you know, into the thick of it, I guess you could say. Like, what, I guess, what are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on, I guess, discipleship? I guess, honestly, I want to dumb it down a lot. What is discipleship? What is discipleship, and what is a disciple? I can help you answer this, but I want to hear first y'all's thoughts on some of this.
I guess my definition, I guess, of a disciple would be, or a being discipled, I guess, would be like someone older and more mature than you, you know, coming alongside you, you know, not only teaching you, like, I guess, how to read your Bible or how to, like, follow the Lord, but also, like, showing you with their life, like, what it truly looks like and means. And so I guess that would be kind of what discipleship is. And, like, a disciple is just someone who's following, daily following the Lord, you know, pursuing the Lord, giving their life to the Lord. But, yeah.
That's cool. What about you? You got any thoughts? Discipleship, disciple?
Yeah, I would say, like, we're all called to be disciples. But it's, like, I feel like to get to that point, there's got to be discipleship where those who get it are modeling it for the people that might not get it yet. And, like, I feel like for us and, like, what we've seen, it's not like a let me teach you, really. I mean, yeah, let me show you how to do this. But it's like, let me show you my life and how I'm getting through this and how I'm constantly relying on God. And I feel like it's a lot of it is, like, modeling. And I feel like that's important, like, for everybody. Like, older people to model for the younger people. But then also, like, just because you're younger doesn't mean that you can't model for the older people.
No, yeah. I mean, for sure. That's one of the main things Paul tells Timothy, right?
Yep.
Is don't let anyone despise your youth. And honestly, let's be honest. Like, I'm in the same generation as y'all, right? We're both Gen Z, which is hilarious.
He says that every single time.
Okay, yeah. It's just, I think it's hilarious. Like,
yeah, no, it is.
It's crazy. But it's not only, and I like that you said that, it's not only about you pouring into, you know, those below you, but you can also be a model for those above you, and be an encouragement of what it looks like to be a disciple. You know, and one of the questions I honestly want to throw on the spot, what does it mean? Like, what does it mean to count the cost? Like, what does it mean to count the cost and follow Christ? Like, if you were to apply that, so, like, y'all are both seniors in high school. If you were to apply that to your life, you know, where Jesus in Matthew 16:24, and he's like, hey, if you want to be my disciple, you need to take up your cross. You need to pretty much die to yourself, and you need to follow me. Like, how do you apply that to your life as a high schooler? You know, think of maybe a middle schooler listening to this. How do you apply that to your life? Very practically, I guess.
Yes. I mean, I guess for us, it would kind of just be like, you recognize that if you want to truly follow the Lord, like, you're going to have to give some things up. You're going to have to change your lifestyle. You're not going to be able to do the same things that you once wanted to do, I guess.
And now, is that a works-based salvation, though?
No, I don't think so. I think I really liked what Ethan said one time when he came and spoke to us.
Oh,
he was saying how,
shout out Ethan Carlson.
I think he said the Lord blesses our obedience.
Yeah.
And I really liked that, because it was like, for me, it was like, I recognized that, you know, things had to change in my life, but it was also like the Lord began to just draw myself away from those things.
Yeah.
Like, he began to change my desires. And so, it's like, yes, you can't participate in the same things that you once did. Like, you can't do the worldly thing, or, yes. I guess. But it's also like you don't want to.
Yeah.
And so.
Now, what would your? I want to stop right there. What would you say to somebody that maybe doesn't have that same thought process? Not to say like. What I mean by that is, what would you say to somebody? How would you encourage a younger student or another student, or maybe even an adult that's listening to this and saying, well, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't want to really follow him. I would rather participate in things of the world. Like, how would you in grace and love handle that situation? I want to hear from you, because I know you could probably.
I would say, like, if you don't want, like, in your heart, if you're not desiring the things that he desires, then there's something off, I feel like. Like, you need to be, if you're desiring things that aren't of him, then you're probably not in your Bible enough. Like, you're probably not, you probably don't truly know what it means to follow him and, like, truly know him, which is kind of harsh, but.
And that shouldn't be, like, a discouragement. It, like, that should be an encouragement to, like.
It's, like, because you think of it, like. I think of it like this, like, everybody wakes up and you have a choice, like, am I going to follow him or am I going to follow the world? Yeah. And, like, you can't have one foot in, one foot out. Like, it's going to be, if you're going to follow him and you're going to be in his word and truly know him, then your heart is going to desire the things of him. Yeah. And not to say that we're not going to mess up, because we do every day, but you're going to have convictions and you're going to be like, okay, that wasn't right. Yeah. And you're going to try again the next day and ask for forgiveness and try again.
Wow, that's, I mean, we could just end it right here.
That's pretty good.
that was pretty good. I guess, like, if that isn't you, right? Like, let's say you have a younger friend. Like, that's not your friend. What is your encouragement to them?
That's what? Not your friend?
No. Let's say you have a younger friend. Mm-hmm. What is your encouragement to them if that's not them? If they don't desire the things of Jesus.
Oh, okay, yeah. I feel like that's where, like, we come in with, like, discipleship.
Boom.
And, like, walking with them. Because it's hard to do it by yourself. Yeah. It is. Yeah. And I don't think it's meant to be done alone, really.
Yeah, it isn't. So. I mean, that's what Jesus says when he says in Matthew 28, you know, y'all know this. What does it say?
Go therefore and make disciples of all nations.
Yes.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Word. And then he keeps going. He says, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. Yeah. For behold, I'm with you till the end of the age. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, for Jesus' disciples, they're going, but you're leaving us. And he's going, no, I'm going to be with you in this. Right? Mm-hmm. So who are you and I to not be with other people till the end of the age? And I know he's talking about the Holy Spirit there. I know he's saying, like, the Holy Spirit's going to be with you till the end of the age. Yeah. But as we're making disciples, and as we're living a Christ-honoring life, that looks exactly like what you said, coming alongside of somebody. You know, if somebody isn't desiring the things of Jesus, you know, Romans is very clear. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you don't feel like you desire the things of Jesus, call upon his name, and he's going to save you. But that's where exactly what you said. That's where we come in and begin walking alongside of those people. I think that honestly, one of the things you said, Jenna, that I want to kind of build off of, what is kind of the difference between a cultural Christianity and actively pursuing Jesus in a relationship with him? And answer this as well.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, cultural Christianity is huge right now, and you know, I guess that's just
like, what is it like, if somebody doesn't know what that means, define that for them.
It's like you put in the bare minimum to follow Christ to say that you're like a Christian, I guess. Wow.
like it's cool to be a Christian,
like, yeah. And like,
yeah, and sometimes it's like you go to church, but it's like that's all you do.
Yeah.
You just go to church.
The only time you open your Bible is on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
How is that truly following the Lord? Like, how can you have a relationship with the Lord if that's it? So that's kind of, I guess, what cultural Christianity would be. And that's how I was for the longest time, I think.
Once again, I can honestly and transparently if transparently is even a word, I can say I can say that I was the same. Like, yeah. I think that's when there is a lack of discipleship in people's lives, we're just built. This is what we're doing. We're filling a building with converts, not disciples. We fill a building with converts, and the rest of the culture is doing this thing where it's, hey, you know, we're here Sunday and Wednesday, maybe even a Sunday night, you know, and but are we really following after Christ? It's, are we throwing the things aside that entangle us? Or are we too bogged down with the pleasures of this life, like the rich young ruler?
Yeah.
Like when Jesus said, hey, you know, to follow me, you need to, you know, you've done all these commandments, great, but you need to, you know, you need to give up your possessions. And what does he do?
He doesn't.
He runs away crying.
Yeah.
And my fear is that without discipleship and without y'all playing your role in your school, you know, where God has placed you, that's what we're building, is we're building people that if Jesus were to come look at them and say, but follow me, they're going to say, but I would rather keep the things of the world. And yeah, that's where discipleship and your part comes in play. How could you model discipleship for somebody? Like, very simple. Let's say somebody's like, okay, I want to be a disciple. Not only do I want to be a disciple, but I want to go make disciples. How do you do that practically?
Like how we do it?
You can talk to that, or you can just make, you know, very simple, you know, what does that look like?
I feel like a lot of people, you know, kind of get it mixed up with like, let's do Bible study or, you know, whatever. But I think it's like literally just walking through scripture with somebody, yeah, and like being there, like to hold them accountable and to make sure that they're just on the right track. Because at the end of the day, like, you still need to read your Bible and have your own understanding. And by doing that, you're going to grow in that aspect of it too. But like, I think even if it's just one person, maybe two, you walk alongside them, help them, encourage them, hold them accountable. And then whenever they know that they have it and they're like really confident in themselves and in the word, then they go and they find other people that need the same thing that they needed. And that might take a year, that might take 3 years, but like, you do it, and eventually, like, the picture is, like, it's multiple times. Like, people,
multiplication.
Yeah. What's it? What's the exponential?
Yeah, exponential. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah. Like, I've had times in my life, and this is kind of where I feel like I failed. Like, I've had people that have shown, like, a desire to want to be in the Word, and, like, have expressed that they like might want to, like, you know, they've asked for advice, I guess, and I feel like I've kind of failed by, Danny was talking about on the podcast yesterday, consistency. And that's like such a huge thing, is we need to be consistent. If we're going to disciple someone and be like a model for them, we better be consistent. And so that's something that like the Lord's been like placed on my heart, is like, how consistent am I? Not only with how consistent am I, like, encouraging them and, like, holding them accountable, but also, like, consistent with my life, you know, because that's a huge thing as well. Like, we can say all we want, but if our life our life has to look different as well. And so that's just a big thing, is consistency.
And I feel like it's like we can sit here and say that we need to do this and we need to do this, but, like, when you really get into it, like, into your daily lives, and like, we're going to school and we have sports and extracurriculars, it's hard. Like, it's really hard to do that and to be consistent and to constantly, like, check in on people and to ask them how their walk is going, because it's just hard. And I think that's part of the, like, being all in, is like
counting the cost.
You're just gonna have to do it. Like, you're tired, it doesn't matter. You just have to.
What's the silly quote? Like, you make time for the things you love. Like, if you know, I'm not the biggest supporter of dating, but, like, let's say y'all have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Like, if you love them, or like, not even dating, we'll throw dating at, like my wife. If I love my wife, I'm going to spend time with her. Like, I'm going to seek out time. Like, not only am I going to spend time with her when it's convenient for me, but I'm going to say, like, hey, I'm actually going to carve out time in my schedule to make you a priority. And that's the same exact thing for Jesus. And that's my fear with the cultural Christianity against, you know, cultural Christianity against, like, a life really living for Christ, is that we're not really carving out time in our schedule. We kind of add Jesus on the back end. Like, we kind of add him on the back end and say, like, well, I hope, you know, if I have time this week, I'll read my Bible. Or if I have time this morning. Like, one of the most encouraging thing, you know, things for me is when one of y'all, you know, not even just y'all two, but other students come and say, like, hey, like, I woke up early this morning because I wanted to spend time with the Lord. Like, that's a big win. And so, anyway, that's besides the point. But basically what I hear from y'all is that a life following Christ and being a disciple and making disciples, which that word is literally just means followers. Like, if I'm a follower of Christ, then I'm a disciple. If I'm a disciple, I'm a follower. Like, being a follower and making followers, it's just a lifestyle. Is that what I'm hearing? Is that following Jesus is a lifestyle?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that he changes your life and then gives you a purpose.
Yes.
What, talk to your generation for a second. I know this may be a little bit more of a tricky question, but would you say... This is what a lot of older adults are saying. Your generation is longing for something real. Being in high school, and once again, I'm the same generation.
Yeah, let's
so.
Just say our generation.
Sorry. I'm wanting to be all old and mature. I'm never going to, I guess.
It's
fine. But
you can pretend.
Yeah, I'll just, wow, thank you. But anyway, our generation, y'all being in your schools, you know, Ware County Pierce, is our generation looking for something? That's real.
What do you mean
probably.
Real?
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean.
What do you mean real? Like
something that's like not, like it's not a facade. Like you're, yeah. Like, you know, like everybody's looking for a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to.
You can go.
Okay. So, yeah, purpose.
Yeah.
That's a big thing because I remember for me, there was for years, like, I was just always wondering, why are we here on this earth?
Yeah.
Like, are we here to just wake up every morning, you know, when we're older, go to work, make money, go to sleep, have a family, you know, and then just die?
Yeah.
Like I was always like, what is my purpose? Like, why am I here? And, like, then whenever I truly began to, like, pursue the Lord, then I began to, like, realize my true purpose, like, is to here to, like, glorify him and, like, make his name known.
Wow.
And just really just, like... give my life to him, like, then nothing really, like, nothing else really matters, like, and I'm still young,
nothing
and so,
matters,
like,
yeah.
But I'm very grateful that I feel like I've begun to understand that concept, like, nothing else really matters, like, really the only thing that matters is how are we living for the Lord, like, how are we bringing his name, bringing glory to his name, and so.
So when you, let me ask you, and I want you to answer this too. When you've uncovered that purpose and understanding that I'm here to bring glory to the Lord, bring glory to the name of the Lord, and I'm here to serve him and love him, how do you start to view things in your life? Like, Jenna, you said your soccer team. Like, how do you view your soccer team? How do you view your school? How do you view your job?
I feel like you view things as opportunities. Mm. Like, and you... I pray for opportunities, and not just opportunities, but that I would take the opportunities, because that's hard to do. But yeah, I feel like once you have a different perspective, it's not like, okay, I'm about to go to school to take a test, and then I'm like, it's like, who can I interact with, and who can I love on? Or it's not even like, I feel like a lot of people think it's, okay, I need to get in here and I need to share the gospel in every single person.
Which isn't technically bad.
No, it's not bad, but it's like, I don't feel like that's exactly like, well, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's like, love God and love his people. And I mean, loving on them is sharing the gospel. I mean, if you show them love, like, people are going to be like, where does he get that from? Why is he happy? Or why is she happy? Like, and I think that's, kind of why some people might turn away from it, is because they're like, I don't have the confidence to just speak out like that, which I think that's one of the parts of like discipleship that I like, is you get in relationships with people. Like, the Lord definitely does that for a reason. Yeah. And that's where like it happened. Like, that's where I feel like gospel sharing like really yeah. happens. Yeah. And then you get to walk alongside them and disciple them and walk with them in yeah. their faith. Cause I mean, yeah, it's good like to share with strangers too.
Yeah. It's good to go do evangelism
and
like
go on mission trips, but
yeah.
it's like, you share and then you come home.
Yeah. It's kind of like, it's more of like a, and that's, I've picked this bone with a few people. It's not that I'm against evangelism.
Yeah.
That's the Bible's very, you know, we are to go and tell. Yeah. Like, no, yeah, like, obviously. But when you and I, like, what do you and I see that as, though? We see that as something we're just doing.
Doing, yeah.
And not a lifestyle. Whereas, like what you're yeah. saying, when you see it as, God has me here in this class beside these people. He's put these people in my life to not just share with them the good news.
Yeah.
But to, like, literally do life with them and to build them up.
And I think that goes back to, like, the modeling part. Like, yeah. that's another big thing, is you model. If you model God in your life, that's a testimony to Him
yeah.
and His faithfulness. And people will see that, too.
Yeah.
So. What's the quote? I feel like I've seen on, like, social media. Where it's like, you may be the only Bible people read, like, your life or whatever.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I saw it the other day.
Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Cool. Yeah.
Man. So, I guess kind of beginning to wrap up, what then is the calling for every single person? If they have came to Christ, what is their God-given calling? And it's not, this isn't like a wrong, you can't get this like wrong. So it's not like you're going to say a wrong answer.
Just to pursue Him every day.
To pursue Him and an intimate relationship with Him, and then what?
And to make disciples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's your purpose, yeah. right? Like, that's your... God formed you to be in relationship with Him, to know Him deeper, which I was just having a talk with somebody this morning. Like, I hope when I'm 80, there's still just things that I'm uncovering about the Lord. Like, man, like, mm-hmm. I didn't know this. Like, I've read this passage 17 times, but, like, now this new thing. So it's to know Him and to grow closer to Him and then to make Him known. And you do that through a life of what?
Discipleship.
Yeah. You do that through a life of discipleship.
Yeah.
So what's one thing, I guess, what's one thing or maybe something you want to leave people with or encourage them?
I got a verse.
You got a verse?
Two verses.
So while you're finding that, you want me to give mine?
Sure.
I would just encourage, hold on, I think I wrote it down. I feel like this is a big thing for me. I got kind of, I guess, discouraged or something when I was a young believer, like, seeing older believers and being like, man, like, I'll never reach that point. Like, yeah. like it can be kind of daunting, I guess is the word.
Yeah.
So just don't be discouraged, like, when you see more mature believers or something, like, speak or, like, talk about their faith and, like, And it's like a lot deeper than you may think of it, because, like, our faith and our walk with the Lord is a journey.
Wow, that was a that was a ringer right there. Wow, sorry.
You think they heard that?
But yeah, anyway, probably.
But like, our walk with the Lord is a journey, and so just stay consistent, stay faithful, just whatever point you're at with your walk, like, just continue to just pursue Him.
Yeah.
And if you're not pursuing Him, begin that journey.
Yeah.
And when you look back on your life and you just see how much you've grown, like, it's kind of incredible.
Yeah.
And just to think that if you continue to seek Him, like, you continue to grow. Like, yeah. I just think that's amazing.
That's good. What do you got, Jenna?
I got a verse. Okay. Romans 12, verse verse 1 and 2. I'm going to read it. Okay. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Wow. Why do you like that verse? Putting you on the spot. Why do you like that verse?
I really like the beginning of verse 2 where it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I think that's just like the world is deceiving, and it's hard to live in this world but not be of this world.
Yeah.
And so it's just encouragement to not and to stay in the word and help that to renew your mind every day.
Yeah.
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah.
Another piece of encouragement and advice is, whoever may be listening, don't be afraid to talk to somebody or to ask questions or just to like, if you just feel the Lord just tugging at your heart, like, don't be afraid to just admit that, like, you may not be in the right place or you are broken, because that was me for a long time. I was afraid to, like, admit it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really know who to talk to or, like, find a pastor or find a friend.
Find, like, the godliest person you know, pretty much.
Yeah. And just don't be afraid to just admit that you need help or just admit that you're not in the right place, because just don't let your pride just stand in the way of that. And just, because if you haven't began to truly follow the Lord, when you do begin that, it's the best thing ever. And you'll have no regrets.
That reminds me of, like, that reminds me of something I heard once. I think it was from, like, Robbie Gowdy, which, shout out to Robbie Gowdy. He's an awesome guy. It's encouraged me in my walk. But anyway, that's me fangirling. Anyway, one of the things I heard that really encouraged me, and it's what you're saying, you have to admit you're broken. Like, when Paul says, like, the old has passed away and the new has come, the old has to die for the new to come, right? And so if you're feeling like you're broken and you're not doing the right, not doing the right thing, not really following Christ, you have to admit that the old has to die first before the new can start to come. And I mean, Jesus even talks about that when he says, like when he's talking about a tree, and when he's talking about a tree and a seed, he's talking about, like, the tree has to die first in order for, the seed to fall and the tree to begin to grow. Like, is that just, it's a lot like what William is kind of saying. Don't be afraid to reach out and say, I don't get it and I need help. Find like William was saying, find a pastor, find a parent, find a sibling, find a family member, find the most godly person and say, hey, I want to begin doing this. Would you walk with me? And that's ultimately what making disciples looks like. So, hey, I'm really encouraged just hearing y'all talk this morning. And I thank you guys. Thank you, William and Jenna, for being on here. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out, even to reach out to William or Jenna or me. We always want to just be an encouragement to you and help push you closer to Christ. So, hey, we thank you for listening. And as I get made fun of for saying in the first episode, hey, everybody go out and be blessed. Peace.
And I'll play his outro music.
Oh, gosh, making fun of the music. Thank you. Oh, man.